Okay, hello everyone. Welcome to this episode of The Connected Physician. I'm Katharina Jünger, your host, and I'm inviting inspiring leaders and practitioners in healthcare who share their journey, how they use technology to support them, and their thoughts on what it takes to provide patients with better care. Today, I'm excited to welcome Dr. Robert DeMonde, who has 17 years experience as a practicing physician and 22 years as a critical care nurse, and is today still working at the California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco as a nurse. We will talk about the massive nurse shortage in the US and how AI can help us combat that crisis. Robert, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you. And I'm so glad and honored to be a part of your podcast.
So as you know, I'm part of a family of medical doctors, and there really was one topic that was a constant part of our conversations at the kitchen table. And that was actually the shortage in nurses. So I would love to talk with you about the reasons for that shortage. I read that there are already 400,000 nurses short in the US. 90% of nurses think about leaving their professions. And if we continue on that route, we'll have a shortage of more than 1 million missing nurses by 2030. What are your thoughts? What is your experience? What drives the dissatisfaction of nurses in this country?
Okay, so on the entrance side is that one of the big obstacles is that the nursing schools can only accommodate so much. So we don't have that much nursing schools. So that's one. The second is that a lot of nurses who finally come into the workforce, they leave because one, they're dissatisfied. They're exposed to so many stresses, so many things that weigh upon them. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are overstressed. They are overworked because of such. I'm lucky because I'm in California. We have ratios where you can only take, depending upon the department, you can only take care of only so much. But there are some states where you are exposed to a lot, a lot of patients, which is good sometimes because you get a lot of experience. But overall, it's such a big thing that's weighing upon the nurse. And there's something you have to know about being a nurse is that they have so much bosses. They have the patient as a boss. They have the family of the patient as a boss. They have their doctors, not just one, but a lot of doctors. And they have also their own managerial boss of the unit. So how they balance, you know, whose orders or whose priorities should they prioritize, that's a tough thing to do. Yeah. So that's adding to that dissonance or reason to just give up and move on to another place.
Yeah. So what you are referring to is, I think, the huge workload and the very stressful environment, in the sense of they're actually saving lives, people, patients are extremely emotional. And then also the huge complexity in the sense of an organizational perspective, actually, with like unclear responsibilities, unclear lines of reporting, unclear kind of lines of who makes which decision, which I've seen a lot, and I would totally agree on that. And so when I talk to owners or leaders within the healthcare setting, be it small practices, clinics, or large hospital systems, one thing that I hear a lot is basically the question of like, how can we actually implement change? And especially when we now think about technology and AI, that's a question that I would love to hear from you. When when we think we can use AI and technology to make a change, to decrease the burden on nurses, how should we think about change management from an organizational perspective when thinking about nurses?
If you do a work study on the what a nurse does, you will find out that a big chunk of her time is spent on the computer, finding out where the medicine is, finding out what the orders are, recording and typing the report as it happens. So a lot of that time is not spent on patient care, but spent on the administrative and the coordination of the different departments in order to give care to that patient. So that is the main thing that the top managers should look at.
So the administrative burden is what you are referring to, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
So I've talked to many practitioners in my podcast already who speak about AI scribing and AI gathering of information of the patient before the conversation. But then to make it really concrete, are nurses really open to the change of AI? So we are here in San Francisco, most probably the heart of the development of AI. But just recently in April, there was a big nurse protest where nurses were actually holding signs that read, "Trust nurses, not AI. Patients are not algorithms." What is your thoughts on basically the potential that AI has on decreasing administrative burden, but then actually the willingness of nurses to adapt to that change?
So two things. One is on the how AI can improve the nurses' work. It can vastly improve. Just like we said, AI could help in making those reports. AI can help in the coordination of the different departments so they're freeing the time to give more better care. And AI also could also monitor some of the things, the alarms, the things that are going on with the patient and bring it together so that way it can make sense. Now the second point that you mentioned is that adopting AI is difficult because there's a lot of resistance and there are many factors why there's so many resistance, but you mentioned the strike. When you do AI adoption, it's you have to do it in a sense that is not try to force it because you might run into the unions that AI the fears that AI might replace the nurses or might create undue overload to their jobs, which is not in their contract. So that is why the unions are resistant to that. That recent strike, a protest, was that they were thinking that AI would change the decision-making process and make the decision process in terms of AI, but actually they were trying to push that to how AI can help them or assist them, but that is a big thing right now. So that's why if you're going to think about you're going to be amazed what AI can do, but don't just bring it, try to push it forward down the throat of your department, because you have to make it in a way that it will be accepted. I can tell you stories about how previous AI, not previous technology changes have affected nurses. Like one time, because I'm old enough to experience, I went through Y2K and also the change from the written to the data entry of nurses' job. So it cost it costs a lot of nurses to retire early. It costs nurses to, in their resistance, they find themselves frustrated that they are unable to learn the computer, learn the computer system, that sometimes they would sabotage it by pouring coffee over the keyboard so that, they, oh, it doesn't work anymore. So that's why it's not implementing any technology change requires certain social political knowledge of how the power structures happen in a healthcare system.
So you work as a nurse at Sutter Health, a relatively large health system here in the Bay Area, employing more than, I think, 57,000 people, 23 hospitals, 33 ambulatory surgery centers. And you just started a project. Can you tell us about Destination 2030 at Sutter Health? What is that project all about?
So Destination 2030 is the overreaching vision of Sutter Health, is that by 2030, they want to be the number one go-to of hospital with regards to care. So in order to go through that, they have to make sure that one, they should have a data ecosystem. That's one. And also they have to make sure that each department finds a way they can improve and raise their level of performance. Now, they started it with having innovation projects. So starting this year, they opened a contest or challenge to the whole of Sutter, like submit your innovation projects and then let's see what we can do with that. In other words, they have this value of being curious. Yeah, so mm-hmm. curiosity is one of the value systems that they would like to put up. So there are about 200 innovation projects currently going on, and I'm lucky to be in 21 of them, or 10% of them. And my job there is to provide AI help and helping them also with the education part, but also powered by AI. So those are the major innovation projects that's happening right now.
So this kind of bottom-up approach to innovation and implementation of technology.
Yes, exactly.
It's really smart, I think. I've seen that at several bigger organizations from healthcare systems, but then also actually, for example, in government projects where you have the same thing, where you really need that everyone basically pulls at the same string and is really motivated to make that change. And it only works when everyone gets involved. It's not a top-down decision.
Yes, and I agree.
Can you perhaps share one or two projects that you find really promising or interesting?
One of the projects I'm really excited about is that, number one, is that databases in healthcare is messy. You have different kinds of databases. You have, and they don't play well with each other. So you have to find a way where they can talk to each other, and so that AI could analyze the data in one uniform. In other words, there should be standardization, things like that. Yeah. So that's the thing. But the thing that's important is that the one thing about healthcare is that you have a big privacy and security issues. So that's why they tread carefully with regards to this solution, but they know that that's the final. Yeah. Another thing is that, like what you've said, decreasing the workload, decreasing administrative workload, the simple things like communicating with the families, communicating with the patients, communicating with other parts of the organization. And AI can help make that into one. Yeah. So those are the major projects. So those are the two major flavors of projects that is happening in the innovation projects.
Interesting. So we talked about kind of the leadership perspective, really make this change a bottom-up approach, involve everyone in the organization so that it becomes a success. And then perhaps to finish up on thinking about the nurses out there, it's a huge change. Why should they bother? Why should they get involved and not just spill coffee over their keyboards and get retired? What opportunity do you see for nurses who became part of this AI revolution?
Okay, so the biggest driver is the nurses have the biggest opportunity to create change in healthcare. If you look at the statistics on who provides actual care to a patient, 70 to 90% is provided by the nurse. So that's why when the patient goes out of the hospital, they will remember the impact given by the care of the nurse. So customer satisfaction, patient satisfaction, actual clinical incomes are in the purview of the nurse. So that is why if you're going to apply AI methods, it should be directed to the one that is closest to the customer, in this case, the patient, and in this case, it will be the nurse. And then the clinical support system could help the nurse practitioner and also the doctor as well. And there's a lot of coordination that happens in nurse every day that you spend in the hospital is about 5 to 10,000 a day. So every day you save is going to save great big savings. So that is why the whole system could really benefit from a coordinated ecosystem, which will help improve the efficiency and improve the productivity of every aspect.
Yeah, thank you so much, Robert. Thank you for sharing this very interesting perspective on what it takes to involve nurses in the AI revolution in healthcare. Thank you, dear audience, for listening, for tuning in today. I really hope you learned something. Please share our podcast with your colleagues who might benefit from our content. I personally would love to hear your thoughts, what you took from our content today, what you implemented into action. And then if there's an inspiring person that you would like to be hosted my podcast, please send her or him my way on LinkedIn. See you next time, Katarina.
Bye.